I'm like Brother Jason. I've been excited to be here ever since Brother Mike had sent an invitation to me, and I appreciate that. I want to thank the Lord for the church, Mount Zion, for opening up the doors for the camp meeting. I want to thank Brother Mike for all the prayers and the effort that he's put forward. I want to thank you tonight for being here. And for each and every one. I know there's a lot of places it could be. I know Thursday night's one of those nights. You're over hump day, right? And you're coming to the end of the weekend and getting ready for the weekend. A lot of people could have stayed home and said, well, I'll just go Friday night and I'll let them do their thing tonight. But we chose to be here, and I thank God for that. And God, I hope God's blessed you for that so far. I hope that you've been touched by the songs and the choir, and thank God for everything that he's done. I'm going to preach tonight, and while you're turning to your Bibles to John chapter 10 tonight, as we are going to read over there by the help of the Lord. This is a scripture that we're very familiar, and I often say that whenever I preach, and I guess I assume sometimes a little too much, but I assume that if you're a child of God, you're reading your Bible at home.
Amen. Bless you, preacher.
I assume if you're a child of God, you know what the Word says.
Amen.
So I think it's only fitting that the preacher should be able to stand out of the pulpit and say, turn with me wherever in the Bible, and you ought to be able to follow it up and say, this is familiar Scripture.
Amen.
But here we know that this is familiar Scripture, and I'm going to say this tonight as we had begin to study on this, and God had put this on our heart. Let me just tell you how God deals with His men. The Lord will oftentimes, we pray and we meditate and we read and we study. And then all of a sudden, God begins to put something on our hearts, and we might not always know where it's going to be preached or when it's going to be preached, but we know when God's dealing with us that somewhere God's going to have that message preached. And then all of a sudden, an invitation, brother comes, and we get invitation to preach at a certain time or a certain place, and if we're not pastoring, if you're like Brother Jason, we know he's ready all the time. But all of a sudden you get invitation, think, all right, this is what God has intended for me to preach. I'm not preaching yet, just bear with me, all right? But then as we begin to study, we begin to marinate, that the Scripture begins to marinate, and God begins to stir our hearts, and we might make a few, write a few things down, a few thoughts down. But what I have learned in my life, that if I'm not real careful, that I'll begin to start overthinking what God has put in my heart. And I'll begin to meditate on that stuff day in and day out and day and night. And I'll begin to move those things through my mind. Brother Jason, you might do this. I don't know. But listen, all of a sudden it gets to where if I was to preach or try to preach everything that God has put through my mind, or maybe I have put through my mind, we would find ourselves here for about 3 or 4 hours.
Right.
But I've often found that God don't need 3 or 4 hours. Sometimes He just does it in just a few minutes.
Amen.
And I'm reminded of what our dear brother Larry Waters said one time from over a month. He said, sometimes I study, but I know that God has given me some things that are just for me sometimes.
Yeah.
And so tonight I would you pray tonight that God will help me separate those things that were just for me and those things that are for all of us tonight.
Amen.
Because I found that the things that are for all of us are going to be good for all of us.
Amen.
And Brother Delmer said as we come in, he said, preacher, come up here close. Get right here. And he said, I know that, or he mentioned that old phrase. He says, I know when you're preaching, step on my toes. I've heard a lot of that people say that over the years, and I don't have any falling out with that. I understand the context which they're saying it in. But I'm glad that God didn't tell Peter to step all over the toes of the church. He said, Peter, I want you to feed my sheep. God loved me enough, Brother Jason. He said, he told the preacher, he said, feed my lambs. I want to feed you tonight by the help of the Lord. And I know tonight that I am not the good shepherd. I want to, hey, listen, but I am receiving word from the good shepherd tonight. And so tonight, if you look in John chapter 10, as we begin to look there, you can stand, if you would, to reverence a reading of the Word of God tonight. And two very familiar verses, real simple and real quick, and you can be seated. But Jesus, this is Jesus talking.
Amen.
And he says in verse 9, he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He said, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You can be seated tonight. We've all heard and read the scriptures of Jesus telling them here. He said that I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen. And I don't normally do this, but I'm going to ask everyone, if you would, just to help us pray tonight. Because I believe we need to, I'm trying real hard. I'm going to get myself out of the way. God, as we come for you tonight, we know, Heavenly Father, that we cannot preach by ourselves. God, we know that we need your help, Lord Heavenly Father. We know we can do nothing on our own. But we also know, dear God, that your word, Lord Heavenly Father, everything you have recorded in it is worthy. God, we know, Heavenly Father, it's worthy to be preached, and Heavenly Father, it is worthy and is able to edify your church. God, we pray tonight that what is preached out of this pulpit would cause the saints to rejoice tonight, and it would feed the souls of your children. Heavenly Father, I pray that what is preached out of the pulpit tonight would touch the hearts of the lost, if there's any among us here, and it would convict them of their sins, that, God, they might have life and have it more abundantly tonight. God, that they could leave this place changed altogether, walking in the newness of life. Lord Heavenly Father, we know tonight that only you can do this for us. God, we pray, Heavenly Father, as was read at the beginning of this service tonight, that two or three have gathered here. Lord Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that you would come in the midst tonight and move from breast to breast. Flow, Lord Heavenly Father, tonight, your Holy Spirit, God, would speak to us and edify us and lift us up and cause us to rejoice in this place. God, we'll thank you and praise you and honor you for it, Lord, for we know that you are worthy of all praise tonight. We love you tonight, Lord, and we thank you, God, for looking at us, considering us, and loving us. And we ask this all in Jesus' name tonight. As we look at this scripture, at home I was thinking of these things, and I began to write down what the definition of abundant was. Jesus said, I've come to give them life and to give it that they might have it more abundantly. Abundantly is a root word for the word abundant. According to the dictionary tonight, if you would have it, the word abundant is defined as richly supplied, more than enough, amply sufficient. So if we would look at this tonight, and you bear with me for a moment of time, because we're going to touch on some things, and I'm not trying to be mean, and I'm not trying to be nasty tonight, but I know that a lot of folks will oftentimes read the scripture, and listen, they'll get into it, and they read it totally out of a carnal mind and carnal context. And so if they was to look at this tonight, they would say, well, God, the Lord Jesus is going to give me more abundant life. And they consider what their life is. And I'm afraid tonight that what mankind considers life to be is far different than what Jesus meant in this scripture. And listen, so if we thought about it tonight, what mankind would consider would be an abundant life, and I begin to meditate on some of these things, I'm reminded that mankind simply knows life according to the sinfulness of their own flesh, right. Listen, in the bounds of this life. Amen. And so to mankind, to a lot of people in society, an abundant life would mean a life without bounds, that they could do anything they want to. Right. The only problem is there's Bible for that, and it's in Genesis chapter 6. Hey, listen, when the Lord said that he looked down upon man, it said that God saw man and the wickedness of man. Hey, listen, the Bible said that it was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Right. Hey, listen, and it said that it broke the heart of God, right. And he repented that he ever made man. Hey, listen, so it is, if we look at the context of what man considers to be an abundant life, hey, listen, we said already it's based solely, hey, listen, on what they, that is pleasing unto the flesh. The only problem, again, also, is begin to look at this, and bear with me that my tongue not get too fast for what the Lord is putting in my heart. But as we begin to look at what mankind considers to be an abundant life, it leads them to a place where Ezekiel's come down in the 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, and he said, God had picked me up and put me in a valley.
Yeah.
He said, and when I was in that valley, all I saw were bones. He said, and they were very dry. Amen. Hey, listen, and God began to speak to me, and he said, oh, man, he said, can these bones live? Oh, he said, I said, oh, God, oh, Lord, thou knowest. Right. Oh, listen, I want you to know that when God looked upon the sin of mankind, he considered every one of them dead. He considered every man dead. Right. Hey, listen, there wasn't life in him anywhere. In the eyes of God, sin had manifested itself into the lives of men. Yeah. And when it come up to the eyes of God, into the nostrils of God, what he beheld was a man that was in a dead state of sin, that had no life, had no hope, had no future. Right. Bless your heart tonight. Unfortunately, this is the lifestyle that our world is clinging to right now. And if you think I'm lying, I looked this up today, and I'm not one of those people that look on the internet for a whole lot. I don't go searching on the internet to find a message. Hey, listen, or a sermon I've often preached and I've often said, and those of you that have been around me any length of time know, hey, listen, that I'm not a fan of sermons. I've told you that, and I've said that all my life. Hey, listen, a sermon can be written down, Brother Van. I'm interested in what the message is. Hey, listen, and I'm like Brother Jason Faulkner tonight. My favorite preacher, as often said by Brother Roger Williams, is the one that has the message. Hey, bless your heart. Where's the message come from? It comes from above. But if we look at it in the context of what we're preaching right now, back in 2016. Hey, listen, the New York legislature, they got all excited because all of a sudden they thought they were having an abundant life. Whenever those people got down in that state house in New York, hey, listen, and they voted upon the legalization of murdering babies right out of the mother's womb. Hey, listen, if you paid attention to it like I did, you were disgusted by the filth and the perversion when these people stood up and clapped and cheered because they had, hey, listen, just come and legalize the murders of babies here and there. I thought tonight, what it must be like right now with all them precious souls under the altar of God saying, oh Lord, how long is it going to be before you avenge our blood? And God's just sitting there saying, just wait a little longer, a little longer. Hey, bless your heart. You might say, Victor, I don't like preaching like that. I'm telling you, we're living in a perverse and a cruel and nasty world right now. And I remember 5 years ago, Brother Mike, you might remember this, and Brother Jason, I don't know, but you preached a message over at Living Word at the camp meeting 5 years ago. I believe that was where it was. Hey, listen, and you preached a message how to get from the midnight to the daylight. Hey, listen, and in that message, there was contemplation in some of the states about legalizing homosexual same-sex marriages. You realize it was about 1 year after that camp meeting that went up to the Supreme Court, and Brother Jason Faulkner stood in the pulpit, and he said, I don't care if they legalize gay marriage. And every queer gets married, I'm still serving God. And if you want to know what happened a year later, our Supreme Court of our country legalized a same-sex marriage, and those sick perverts in the White House lit the whole place up with rainbows and flew a rainbow flag. And listen, over the White House, I don't know if that shook you like it shook me, but I'll tell you this, when I looked at it, I didn't recognize the place that I was standing. And listen, because the morals and the, and listen, what I grew up with God in our country has seem to have completely went by the wayside, and they celebrated it because they said, this is life abundantly. That's how sick they are. And they're right among us right now. And unfortunately, and what saddens my heart, there's a whole bunch of them in the pulpits across our country preaching this garbage. They're not even in the Bible anymore. They've laid it aside a long time ago. They're nothing but perverts and sickos, and they're just pushing an agenda every time you turn around. I tell you what, I'm trying to get to the heart of the message. You bear with me. But I got to say this because it bothers me, and I hope it bothers you too. If it don't bother you, you need to get on the altar. But I'm about tired of turning my television on and watching two men hug each other and two women hug each other. Hey, listen, people not knowing if they're a girl or a boy, and all of a sudden people seem to be confused over the whole matter of what it is to be a male or a female. Hey, listen, I'm telling you what tonight, there's sickness all around us, and what they'll show on TV is everybody being happy and everybody being rejoiceful because they think that the bounds of, hey, listen, of their life have been opened up and they've got everything they need. It's just enough. Oh, that might be so, but according to a study I read today, hey, listen, it was published just in 2019, the suicide rate in the homosexual community is higher than those dying of AIDS.
Yeah, man.
What they don't show you is all those dying on the deathbed. Nobody's around them. Hey, listen, because nobody, hey, listen, they've alienated everybody in their life. And the mom and dad's calling for the preacher to come down and try to pray over him. But when he walks in, they don't want to listen to him anymore. Hey, listen, people are stepping out of this life right into the gate of hell. Hey, listen, being bound up to outer darkness. What they don't show you on television is that little bloody baby sitting on a table that they just stuck a needle in the back of its skull and killed it right before. They don't show you that. Hey, listen, they won't show you those confused little girls or boys that don't know what they are. Hey, listen, they seem to be confused about their gender because when one little boy, hey, listen, has an older sister that puts a dress on him when he's 4 years old, he's got a perverted parent who all of a sudden will try to train that boy to be something he's not. I'm telling you right now, in the eyes of God, it's sick.
Yes, it is.
And when God looks down at that, what does he see? He don't see life abundantly. He sees nothing but death. And according to the Apostle Paul, hey, listen, when Paul was preaching in the book of Romans, I believe it was, he told them that they'll get to a point of God will turn them over to a hardness of heart and a reprobated mind. Yeah. I'll tell you what, we've got a whole bunch of reprobates among us. You might say, Victor, you're preaching mad. I never heard you preach mad before. I'm not trying to preach mad. I'm preaching the truth, friend. You gotta. It's time we realize what we're fighting against. We got to understand what the fight is sometimes. I get tired of, hey, listen, of patting people on the back. And I know that we love the people and hate the sin. Hey, listen, I understand that. But there's some folks we ought to stand up and tell them that the sin's killing them. Yeah. Don't pat them on the back. It's killing them. Take them to hell. They need to come out of it. But I'm going to preach to you tonight what Jesus meant when he said, I'm coming to give you life. And you can have it more abundantly. So I believe that Jesus tonight was talking about life in the context of what it was originally intended for mankind. You with me tonight? I'm going to take you to a place tonight in the scriptures. I hope you realize this. And we're going to try to wrap it up quickly. Brother Van teased me. He said, give us 2 hours. I said, man, I've studied. I'll probably give you three. If I give you two, I'm going to have to consolidate it down. And I know it's Thursday and some of you have to work tomorrow, but so do I. And I love it. But I believe Jesus was talking about life as it was before sin ever came into man's life. Think about that just for a minute. Jesus was telling them here. He said, I am come that they might have life. In other words, they've lost it. But I've come, and I'm going to give it back to them. And he said, and they might have it more abundantly. In other words, Jesus said, I'm going to give it to them like they've never known.
Amen.
I'm going to give it to them like Adam didn't even know. I'm going to give him life, and I'm going to give it to those people that will, if they'll have it and they'll believe me and trust in me, I'm going to give them something they never expected or never understood. Now, hey, listen, it'll cause them to shout and rejoice all their days while they're here on earth. I'm reminded in Genesis chapter 2, hey, listen, we begin to look at some of these things, thinking about God as the giver and the creator of life. I used to tell the folks at Riverside, and I heard this mentioned one time, and it stuck with me. I've heard people saying, life, no matter how bad they live, they say, well, it's okay, we're all God's children. And I told people, no, we're not all God's children, we're all God's creation. But if you're a child of God, you're born of God. And if you're born of God, you're separated from this world. And if you're a child of God, you're walking circumspectly to this world. Hey, listen, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. This world don't hold anything for the children of God. Hey, listen, my home is over on the other side. And I'm passing through. And bless God, I know that I've got an abundant life. And I have one here, but I've got a far better one over on the other side. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, the Lord said, listen, the Bible says, recorded, it said, and the Lord have formed a man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Hey, listen, the word formed there, if you'll have it, was from the Hebrew verb. It's the same verb in the Hebrew language that describes a potter's profession. Y'all know what Jeremiah saw. Hey, listen, and so it was that the Bible recorded that God had formed man. In other words, God took his hands, his precious holy hands. Hey, listen, and he took it from the, he took that clump of dust that was no good, that clay that was marred. Hey, listen, that good for nothing ground. Hey, listen, that probably not even he had put vegetation in it yet. Hey, listen, but he took it up and he formed it and he saw it there, but it was still nothing. It was still dead. And it was still good for nothing until God decided in his abundant love and mercy that he was going to bend down and he was going to breathe something into the nostrils of that lump of clay. And bless God, it got up and it became a living soul. And he named it Adam. And listen, and the Lord loved Adam. And the Lord provided for him. And he cared for him. And listen, he gave him everything that he needed. His daily provisions. He walked in the garden, walked in the place with him. But listen, he didn't put him, he didn't create him in the garden according to this book of Genesis. The Bible said down about verse 8 that God planted a garden east of Eden. And later he said he took man and he put him there. Didn't create him there, created him somewhere else. But when God planted that garden and everything was perfect and made everything beautiful, And he put the rivers that flow through it. And he put the gold and all the precious jewels there. And he saw that they were there. And he put every tree that was good for food. Hey, listen, and pleasant to look at. And every beautiful thing. Hey, listen, that God did. He put right there and created in that garden. And then when he was all done with the garden, he said, Adam, come here. I want you to go somewhere. And I'm going to place you somewhere. And I'm going to bring every animal that's ever created. And I'm going to bring it before you. And I want you to name it. And he says, and he put Adam there. And he put him in the garden. Verse 15 says he put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it.
Yep.
Some people say, well, man didn't have to work till sin. Hey, listen, Adam had to dress and keep the garden. That's what the Bible says. The thorns and the thistles and everything else in life and the troubles and the struggles, they came later. When sin came, that's when all that came. But God put Adam there. And then according to the scriptures, we find that God would walk in the cool of the day and he would meet him and he would talk with him and he would commune with him. And then God looked at Adam and he said, you know what? It's not good that he's alone.
Right.
He said, I'm going to give that man a wife. And he said, Adam, I want you to go to sleep. And he put a sleep over him and he took a rib and he created that woman there. And Adam woke up and he saw his wife. That's what the Bible says. He said he gave him a wife, a helpmeet. I have preached that over years past. I know a lot of people want to get macho and they say, well, I'm the man of the house and my wife, she does whatever I want to. You need to read your Bible. My wife is not my stepping stone. She's not something that I rub my feet on when I get home from work. Hey, listen, I believe we ought to love our wives like Christ loved the church. And he gave his life for the church. She is my precious help. My wife's not with me tonight, but she is my soulmate. She is my best friend on this side of eternity. Hey, listen, and God gave her to me. And I'm thankful for that. And if you've got a loving wife who loves you and cares for you, you ought to cherish her and love her and tell her how much she means to you. But listen, so we saw all that in the garden, and this is the life that God had made for man. He supplied his every provision. He accompanied mankind, provided all the beautiful dwelling place where he could be, gave him a help meet his wife, gave him then the ability to choose. God put him in that garden. He said, now, Adam, I've made everything in this place, and everything's here for you. He said, but while you're here, you need to know one thing. He said, that tree right over there, I don't want you to touch it. I don't want you to go near it. I don't want you to eat of it.
Right.
And so we all know what happened. We all know that. They disobeyed God and fell out of the grace and the mercy, fell out of God's good grace, and they separated. And the Bible says that God had to put them out of the garden. Told them he had to work. We all know that. We all know what happened to the lives of men. But sin entered in. That's where sin came in.
Right.
Hey, listen, you might say, you're just preaching a Sunday school message. I heard this when I was a kid.
It's good.
Sometimes it's good for us to go back and hear some of those things. So in the Bible, in the book of Romans chapter 5, I believe it is, if I wrote this down right, Apostle Paul wrote, he said, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned.
Yes, Lord.
And so therefore, that's why Ezekiel saw in the 37th chapter that valley was full of dry bones and ain't none of them was alive. But you know what caused them bones to come alive? Hey, listen, when the Lord, God of heaven, all of a sudden began to speak to Ezekiel, he said, now, Ezekiel, I'm going to put my word in your mouth.
Yeah.
And I want you to go down there and I want you to start speaking my word. Hey, bless God, it's about to get good. Are you with me tonight? Hey, listen, so it was that when Jesus come here, he said, I've come to give them life and that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Bless God tonight. You know what the Bible says in John chapter 5, verse 24 and 25? It simply says this. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Hey, thank God. What Jesus was telling, he said, everyone that hears me, and listen, not only hears, he said, but believes on him that sent me, they're not going to stand before God in the condemnation that they're living in right now, but they're going to be separated out of that. I'm going to put something in their heart, and when God looks at them, he's going to see the blood. He's going to see obedience unto the word. He's going to see a new creature. He's going to see a child. He's going to see an heir and a joint heir. They will not stand before God in the condemnation that man is in right now. Bless your heart. And so Jesus, when he come preaching to all those, hey, listen, just tell them. I said this before, and it's been preached. First message that was ever really preached by the power of the Holy Ghost. And you might fall out with me on this. That's okay if you want to. But I believe John Baptist come preaching repentance, did he not?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, and so it was. He was the first one that preached repentance. You know what Jesus preached? The very first thing he said when he come preaching, he said, repent. Hey, listen, he come preaching repentance. Hey, listen, so mankind had to repent from the beginning, from the state that they were in. They had to disagree with their own self. It'd do our world a whole lot of good to disagree with themselves and turn and agree with God. Listen, but I find that James, I believe it was, told them over in this first chapter, he said that we need to be doers of the word and not hearers only.
Right.
We got a whole lot of hearers in our land today, but I believe we've got very few doers in our land. Hey, listen, he said, if you're just a hearer only, not a doer, you're deceiving your own self. I know tonight there's a whole lot of people that are banking on the day that they think they're going to stand before God and they're going to, hey, listen, they're going to negotiate their eternity with the Lord of heaven. But according to the scripture, that ain't how that situation's going to happen. Hey, listen, God already knows on that great and final morning, he knows exactly who's going. My name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I was given a white stone and a new name written in it. And bless God, you might not know it, and I might not know it exactly right, but I know when the Spirit comes by and God begins to say it because it gets my attention. Because I'm his child, Christ said, I am the good shepherd, and I've known my sheep, and my sheep know me. And I thank the Lord for that. So James said that they should not come to condemnation, they've escaped. In other words, what it simply means is they've escaped the judgment and the wrath of God. Aren't you glad of that?
Thank the good Lord.
So Romans, Paul wrote in the book of Romans, I jot a few things down, I'm almost coming to close. I'm going to touch on a few things here. Romans tells us, chapter 6, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Right.
I know we live in a land, a lot of people want life more abundantly. Man, when they think of life more abundantly, Brother Jason, they think of a boat and a camper and an RV in their driveway. They think of taking a big long trip for 2 or 3 weeks. Man, that's living. I'm telling you what, if that's living to you, you ain't seen nothing.
Amen.
Brother Jason, hey man, I'm...
Bless.
We get in the house of God together and the Spirit of God gets to move and all of a sudden we get to shaking on the inside. Hey, listen, and the power of God comes down through a message and it feeds our soul and it begins to elevate us to a place that Paul and Silas were in that innermost prison, and God's shaking the whole house. Hey, listen, and as bad as this world is, that day that we might be having, and God elevates us to that point. Hey, listen, we're rejoicing. I want you to realize, as good as we feel at that point, it only gets better from there. But your RV and your campers and the things of the world and the pleasures of sin that you partake in and you think you've got it good, hey, listen, but then tomorrow turns, you come in, your boss fires you because you didn't do something or because you, hey, listen, had a bad day or something happened and you lose your job and you lose things and everything's going south and you think, man, it's got to get better. If you don't know the Lord, that's the best it gets for you.
Yeah.
It gets worse from there. It don't get any better. But I'm heading to a place where I've got, hey, listen, I've got life and life more abundantly. Jesus Christ told me, John, chapter 11. And I know it's kind of quiet, and I hope y'all are with me tonight.
Yes, sir.
If someone's nodding off beside you, give them a nudge.
Yeah.
John chapter 11. Hey, listen, the Bible tells us that Jesus walked into Bethany, and there were people there, and it said that Jesus loved Mary, and Jesus loved Martha, and Jesus loved Lazarus.
Right.
Hey, listen, we all know those scriptures. We also know that Lazarus died. When John chapter 11, when Jesus come into the city there, he had already wept with his disciples because he told them that Lazarus was asleep. And they thought he was just resting or something. And he said, no, he's dead. Hey, listen, but Jesus got down there, and Martha, she come out to meet him.
Yeah.
And she was weeping. And he said, Martha, said, your brother is going to live again. She said, oh, Lord, I know that he'll live again in the resurrection. But if you were here, he wouldn't be down in that tomb right now. But he's been here for 4 days. I've been down there for 4 days. And all the Pharisees are here and the Sadducees are here and all these Jews. Hey, listen, that don't normally have anything to do with us because we affiliate with you and we commune with you and we love you. They're down in the house with Mary right now. But I heard you was coming. I wanted to come out and say, why, God, didn't you come earlier?
Right. Bless.
He said, show me where he is. She said, "I know we're living in resurrection." He said, "I am the resurrection."
Hallelujah.
Bless
you. If you're waiting to feel the glory of God on resurrection morning, you're missing out to what God has done or can do for you in your life right now. Hey, listen, he said, "I am the resurrection." He said, "If any man believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Believest thou this? In other words, don't you believe? I'm asking you tonight, do you believe the word of God or not?
Hey!
If you believe what Jesus said and you're lost, what are you waiting on? Get on the altar and get things right with God.
Yes!
Because you're not promised another day. Hey, listen, we know what happened on that day. The Lord raised Lazarus from the grave. Bless your heart tonight. He said, loose the clothes and all the grave clothes that bind him up. And he said, loose him and let him go. Let him be free. I bless God. I'm glad I remember the day that the Lord loosed me and made me free.
Amen.
There ain't nothing like it. Jesus told him in John chapter 14, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's right.
Bless.
So as we said already, you're not getting to the Father unless you go through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ is the one who said, "I come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly."
Amen.
But now let's touch on a few things. We'll come to a close. Because Christ will, just like he did Lazarus, hey, listen, the day you get born again and you that are here, you're saved by the grace of God, know exactly what I'm talking about. It's like raising you from the dead.
Yes, ma'am.
Listen, and it's walking in the newness of life. It's something you just never forget. It's something that sticks with you the rest of your life. And as we begin to think about the abundant life, or life more abundantly in Christ Jesus, we know tonight, hey, listen, that we are in this world and we have a job to work. And hey, listen, if you come to my house, I don't have the biggest house, I don't have the fanciest cars, and I don't have some large bank account. There are people in this life that are far better off than I am. And no doubt there's people in life far better off than you are. Hey, listen, to the worldly standard. But I'm not living to a worldly standard. I'm living to a godly standard.
Amen.
And so therefore, Brother Mike Callahan, I'm happy and I'm content with where God has put me.
Amen.
I'm happy with the house that he has given me.
Yes.
I thank him every day for it.
Yes.
I thank him for the ability that I have the health to get up and go to a place where God has allowed me to work. I'm happy for the children that I have. I wish they were in church more. I wish my grandchildren were in church more. But I'm praying to God, and I know he's going to take care of that for me. So I've just left it in his hands. I'm happy with the things that he does for me and my wife. Hey, listen, we don't get to travel a whole lot, but what little bit of time we get to go together, I enjoy every minute with her. I'm happy with the church that God has put me in. If you believe it or not, I'm happy that I'm here right now. I'm happy when God brings me together with men and women.
Yes!
Hey, listen, that I can link up with in the Spirit of God and I can rejoice together with. Hey, listen, you say, "Preacher, are you living life more abundantly according to the world standards? It don't look like much." Hey, listen, the world, I'm not interested in what the world has. I'm walking with Jesus every day just like Adam was. He's providing for me every day just like he did Adam. He's given me a life and a precious friend just like he did Adam. Hey, listen, God has done more for me. Listen, than anything that anyone else could do or anything that I could ever ask for. I rejoice with God every day because of the life that I have with Christ Jesus and the abundance that he has given me. But bless God, what I've got here pales in comparison to what God has prepared for me over on the other side. Life more abundantly. And I tell you tonight, if you're a child of God, I know sometimes we get frowned. We wear a frown, we get long face, we get beat up. I'm reminding the scriptures that said, "All those that will live godly shall suffer persecution." I know that. Hey, listen, I know that we go through trials and tribulations in this life, but I'm glad that God delivers us through everything that we go through.
Amen.
That's a promise. We need to be doers of the word, not hearers only. We need to meditate upon the word of God day and night. Hey, listen, we need to eat that precious word. We'll gain strength from it. I was going to preach a little bit tonight about the hearers and the doers, but I'll leave that for another night. But I will simply say this to those that are here. I don't know if you're lost, but if you are, let me tell you something. In the eyes of God, you are dead right now. Your sin has put you in a condemned place where you have nothing but death that awaits you. I know people, they're living it up in this world, and they're thinking when they leave here, it's going to be a party with all their buddies. Hey, listen, I've heard that kind of talk all my life, and it was a lie then, and it was nonsense then, and it's a lie now, and it's nonsense now. Hey, man, there are no friends in hell. You don't have any parties in hell. There's no daylight in hell. There's nothing in hell. And if I read my Bible correctly, and I believe I do, hell's going to be delivered up, and God's going to put it in the lake of fire. And according to what Jesus said, when they're cast out, he said, there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He said, where the worm dieth not, the fire is never quenched. That's what awaits. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. He said, I'm not come to condemn the world. The world was already condemned. That's what he said in John. He said, but I've come to give it life. Bless your heart tonight. And for you tonight that are here, that are children of God, I hope and pray that we're not only hearers of the Word of God, but we're doers of the Word of God only. I thought about this last night. We was in revival. We went over there to Shady Grove, where Brother Stephen Perry is, and they was preaching a message, and it seemed like some things were going on in the message, and God just put that on my heart. He was talking about change. He was talking about different things in life, and God put that just like a light bulb went off. And I said, Lord, we need to be doers of the Word.
Absolutely.
And not hearers only.
Right.
And I know sometimes people say, oh, I'm a doer. Man, I do the Word of God. And I thought about how good do we treat God? I mean, really, how good do we treat Him? You realize there's folks that say they love God and they'll do for God and they want to do for God, but yet if they treated their spouse like they treat God, there's a whole bunch of people be down in divorce court signing papers right now because their spouse wouldn't put up with it. And you think God's going to put up with it? And they sit home and wonder why they can't feel anything. Why they're not blessed in life. Why they come to church and can't feel the power of God move when the preacher's up preaching and the church is shouting and they'll sit there. And they get up in the choir and try to stir something up, but they just can't stir anything up. You want to know why? Because you're just sitting there by the wayside doing nothing. You do nothing, you're going to get nothing.
Right.
When you decide to do something, God's going to do for you.
Amen.
And He'll bless your heart. I don't know why we got into all that. Somebody might have needed it. I don't know. Maybe it was me. It was good anyway. Maybe that was one of those things that God gave me. I should have kept my mouth shut. But anyway, I love you tonight. I'm glad that God has given us life and life more abundantly. If we truly meditated upon the abundance of what God has given us, we would all have a case of the can't help it all the time. Let's stand our feet tonight. Jason, I don't know how you want to do this. Brother Mike, I don't know how